The following program is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network. Geeky programming for all nerds across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. For more Nerdy Show podcasts, community forums, and learn how you can support this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to Dungeons & Doritos Book 3. Hi, I'm Cap.
Hi, I'm Hex.
Roll.
Hi, I'm Colin.
Hi, I'm Lefty.
Dungeons & Doritos is our epic tabletop role-playing podcast. It's a show where we play medieval fantasy role-playing. In this case, we play Saga's RPG. It's a system founded by our very own Rule, who our game master here, sorting out his notes at the moment. Dungeons & Doritos, this is a brand new book we call Seasons Books, and this is the start of Book 3, our third season. You may have caught the intro to this season, the two-part prologue, The Quest for Free Drink, which takes place just after the events of the finale of Book 2, and sets up what's happened for Book 3. So if you are just tuning in for the first time, in Dungeons & Doritos, we all play characters in a medieval fantasy setting. You can find all of our shows at DungeonsandDoritos.com, including the D&D library, where you can go back and listen to Book 1 and Book 2. I play Jamella Dalla Egbert III, a Dragonborn.
I play VMAC, the Goliath Shaman.
I play Bartholomew Elfgar Gleeman, who is currently incarcerated and is a dagger-throwing Gleeman.
I play Lefty, an unstable fighting pirate queen.
I'm Rule, the Game Master.
Yeah, and for those of you familiar with the show, you'll notice that Brian, who plays Jennifer, a tiefling, is nowhere to be seen. Well, we'll see if he shows up sooner or later. D&D is an actual role-playing game that we play. It's completely live. We don't know what's going to happen. However, we do edit together like a radio drama. We keep in all the roles. We add sound effects, and there's an original score. Last book was headed up by Overclocked Remixes, Steve O'Bortz, a.k.a. Level 99, along with The Shark Hunter, Ryan McQuinn, and Kyle Bunnell. We'll still be using tracks and themes from our original score base from last book. But for new music in this book, the torch has been passed to Ryan McQuinn, official composer of Dungeons & Doritos Book 3. You can listen to, and in fact buy via Pay What You Want, all the music that you hear on Dungeons & Doritos. We'll have a link to it on this episode's page, along with where you can pick up other stuff, including D&D merch. And hey, D&D fans, we got some new stuff. We have a brand new set of glasses featuring new designs of the characters by our in-house artist, Tony.
All I heard was that we have nude designs of the characters.
Nude design.
And we only have one nude design.
That dear fans, is up to you. That's your bag. If you want to do that, no problem. Just be sure to tag Dungeons & Doritos on Rule 34. anyway, these are drinking glasses, not seeing glasses or Google glasses. It's set one of two sets. This first set is three glasses. It's the Frenemies set. It features Chair, VMAC, and Barty.
Woo! I'm buying one of those glasses sets. And then I'm going to take the VMAC one and smash it.
That will make me sad cry.
And set two, the Love Triangle set, is coming out soon, and that's Jamella, Lefty, and Jennifer. You can check out all that stuff at nerdyshow.com/store or click the links on this episode's page. This episode will also feature a musical interlude by Chamber Band, a really amazing band from New York City. They're like, what if the Decemberists wrote songs about medieval fantasy tabletop role-playing games they'd played? Probably Dungeons & Dragons. I don't know what system they rock with, but they're amazing. This album absolutely took me by storm. I love them, and so, man, they are so appropriate to any Tiamat-fearing tabletop crowd, so we definitely got to play some of them in this episode. Click the link. You can check out their album, Deities. Now, we're ready to get this adventure rolling, but I'm sure you guys are going to want to know what we're eating right now.
Nom.
All the way from Japan, we have a delicious Dorito, corn pottage.
What the hell is a pottage?
It's like a corn chowder. Basically, this is like a corn chowder Dorito, so I would imagine it's very similar to the toasted corn original Dorito flavor, but this may be maybe a smoother. This is part of Japan's limited edition gourmet Dorito line.
Oh, wow.
It's very sweet.
That is overwhelmingly corny.
Very, very salty.
Oh my gosh, that is like straight up corn on the cob right there.
And then, this is not a Dorito, and for that I apologize, but it is from Japan, and it is very cool, and it is a super weird flavor.
Why do we have it then?
Because...
if it's not Dorito.
Blasphemy!
We've done this before. Do you remember the savory flavor of the pork chop Cheetos?
Okay, that was a very special case because it was awesome. What makes this so awesome that we have to eat it?
Nerdy Show fan Mjolnir has acquired for us Pepsi-flavored Cheetos from Japan.
Argument what? Rescinded.
This bag, it smells like a arcade or bowling alley.
Whoa!
Deli or something.
That smells like stale Pepsi.
Yeah, it's a thing. Ah! No! No, why?
Oh my god! It tastes like pure Pepsi. This is so odd.
It's like a more sour version of Pepsi.
And it's stale. It's definitely stale Pepsi.
But the chips are not, but the flavor is.
Right, no, that's the thing. It's like the chip is crisp and fresh, but the flavor is definitely of stale.
This is so peculiar. Man, it's like a sour, tangy soda syrup flavor.
I need some corn on the cob to wash that down.
Oh my god. That is super weird, guys.
I need to eat a chip to wash down the taste of a Pepsi flavored chip.
Yeah.
I've now opened
Where's the Pepsi to wash down the Pepsi flavored chip?
In celebration of the appearance of Barty's arch nemesis, I guess, Black Pepper Jack at the end of our prologue, which we'll get into that in a moment, dear listener. Jumpin' Jack, the granddaddy of what became the Black Pepper Jack Dorito flavor, which has come back periodically. Jack cheese flavor. It's very good if it's provided that it's still fresh.
Is it fresh?
No, it's still good.
Okay, I'm going to try one.
Jumpin' Jack is Black Pepper Jack's father. Him and Papa Gleeman used to get into it.
It's a good flavor, right?
That's not bad.
This is a Doritos throwback flavor from the early 90s. Jay Leno advertised this when it came out.
And I will be sitting here munching on my classic and favorite Taco Doritos.
And of course, there's a bag of intense pickle keeping me happy.
Hey, so should I eat the Doritos Locos Tacos Doritos? Or...
Oh. Oh, there was some news. The guy who,
Yes, there's some very, very unfortunate news. Todd Mills, the man who created the concept of the Doritos Locos Taco, at least allegedly anyway.
Man who saved Taco Bell?
Yes, the man who saved Taco Bell. He died on Thanksgiving after battling brain cancer. He was 41 years old, and he was not a Taco Bell or Frito-Lay employee. He was an average schlub like you or me, who in 2009 said, God damn it, they should make Dorito taco shells. He wrote Frito-Lay about it. He got a rejection letter. And then he started a grassroots Facebook movement called the Taco Shells from Doritos Movement. It went on for a number of years, got a ton of likes, and then Taco Bell took interest. However, despite the billions of dollars that Taco Bell's made off of this product, he actually didn't receive any of it. I don't know if he actually declined or not, but what everybody's saying, what his family's saying, is that he just wanted the taco shell made.
So. I doubt he declined, you know, if he had a brain tumor, I doubt he declined a ton of money. Just saying.
I would doubt that too, but they say he was very humble. I don't know, but apparently that's what happened anyway.
This is a man who had a dream, and through grassroots efforts, he saw it come to fruition.
Yeah, so we're going to do a crunch off in memory of Todd Mills today. And also, I forgot that we had this, but we've never eaten this on the show before, but we do have the Doritos Locos Tacos, combo bags of nacho cheese and crunchy taco Doritos.
Yeah, that's what I have right now.
I've also got a ranch one. I'm gonna go find it on the shelf.
I'm doing the crunchy taco.
For some reason, I feel there's some lettuce in there.
Yeah, I taste it.
So I'm not crazy.
No, I taste the lettuce. There's like some. This is definitely a straight up Taco Bell soft taco. It's like I'm eating a Locos Tacos.
That was just so weird to like get that from an American Dorito.
Yeah.
To get that after flavor hint.
That's an interestingly layered experience. I'm also opening the Cool Ranch version of that right now.
Oh my god. What if I put a Doritos Locos Taco flavored Dorito onto a Doritos Locos Taco.
If it's anything like putting a Doritos taco on a taco Dorito, it's actually going to taste really
probably
good.
Probably delicious.
You will. You're going to inception that taco, Colin.
I tried the fiery taco. It's good.
It's the best one.
Yeah, by far. Third time's charmed.
I might add, for those of you like me who are sick of Cool Ranch, adding the taco to it is a huge improvement.
However, the Doritos Locos Taco Cool Ranch at Taco Bell is
not worth the money.
It's average at best.
Not that it's bad. It's just nothing to write home about.
Yeah.
It's that middle child, you know? The Doritos Locos Tacos came out, and it was good. And then Cool Ranch, and, you know, wasn't
and the parents had such high ambitions and expectations after the first child that the middle child just did not reach those expectations.
That's right. And then the third child came along.
And
it
it's just
no
so cute and adorable and a little fire starter that it's just like it's everyone loves it.
Uh-huh.
Yep. So that was the conclusion to our Doritos talk. But so now you know what we're going to be munching on during this episode, and of course, munching in memory of Todd Mills. So now, Doritos in hand, it's time for our ceremonial crunch off to adventure.
All right, here we go. All right, everybody on Skype, do it on two because there's going to be a delay.
One, two, three.
For you, Em.
When last we saw our heroes, they had undergone a tumultuous experience, thrown across time and space, and peril, grave peril. And then, to make matters worse, while trying to drown their sorrows at a tavern, Barty Gleeman was abducted by guards and a bounty hunter named Black Pepperjack, taken to who knows where, for it appears that he is a fugitive of justice. Not long afterwards, a vile man named Worm came to them with information, an alleged fan of Lefty and Jamella's lewd performances, when for a price he agreed to show them where Bartholomew Gleeman was being held. Using the newfound riches of Lefty and Jamella from their sensual displays via crystal ball, they've purchased a boat, stocked with illiterate seamen, and they're now steering this rickety craft to a sheer rock face, where they will meet certain doom. Where they have been told to watch out for a secret entrance to save their compatriot Bartholomew Gleeman. We go now to the dungeon where Barty Gleeman wakes from a restless sleep. And he dreamed a stinky dream. He dreamed that little men were licking his toes and fornicating with his nostrils, and they all had the face of his father.
Oh.
I made that part up. He dreamed of naked ladies, as he always does, with the face of his father. It's all for you, Dad. Anyway, here's Barty doing stuff.
Okay, so Barty, you're coming to. This time, you wake up and you're chained to the table. You remember being chained to this table several times, but this time you're starting to feel a little bit more like yourself. For some reason, for the past few days, you've been fed, you've had sleep. It's actually been probably 3 or 4 days since the last time you've seen this room. Prior to that, you've been tortured, been kept awake, you've been starved. This man who you don't even remember seeing, you know that he's there, but your memory is still kind of patchwork. You don't really trust it. But this man, he has used magic on you to torture you. He has used metal, horrible instruments. He has violated you. And it's all just starting to kind of come back to you. Right now, you don't feel pain. Your wounds seem to have been healed. Like I said, you're well fed. It's been cooked meat, bread that's not stale. It's not moldy. You've been given wine and water. You've been treated very well for the past few days. And you're kind of surprised to find yourself strapped to this table again. The only lights in the room are right around you, candelabras and candles, giving you kind of a dim glow around right around where you're at. But you can hear and kind of sense the presence of several other people in the room with you.
I'm obviously still very weak, considering the ordeal. But I struggle against the chains, and I try to look around to see if anybody else is in the room with me. Is my head shackled in some way so that I can only look above me, or can I look around?
You can look around, yeah. Yeah,
is anybody else in the room?
You're bound at your wrist and your ankles, almost like they were going to quarter you. Kind of see out of the corner of your right eye that there is a man in a gray robe standing there. His head is shaven. It's got tattoos that go around the ears and like sweeping towards the front of his head. Kind of like Aang, from Avatar. He's got those arrows that kind of go forward from the back of his head. Well, he's got these kind of tribal things that go from the back of his head towards the front of his head and around his neck and down his arm. So you can see him coming out of the sleeves on this thing as he starts to move around towards the room. He's talking to somebody in a low whisper, but you kind of feel like this is the guy that you almost feel like you're terrified of him. Like, this is the guy that's been tormenting you. But you remember him being bigger and scarier, maybe with horns.
Why are you treating me this way? What have I done? It was just a little bit of play. This is not worth this. End this.
You can calm down now. We're happy to see you're awake. And frankly, I don't care why you're here. I have a job to do, and I've had my fun. It's been a pleasurable experience. You're quite the resistant specimen, but I've decided that the king in his gracious wisdom has decided that I can do with you what I want. And so I get to decide how you're going to die. And today's going to be that day. It's over. You don't have to worry about anything anymore, Bartholomew. Gleeman. You're going to die today, and it'll be all over.
You son of a bitch. Body Gleeman is the one who decides when he dies, and today will not be the day.
Oh, yes, today is the day. You're going to be washed. You're going to be fed once more, and then we're going to take you to see the headman.
No worry. I'll be fine. I'll figure out my way out of this. I've figured out my way out of many prisons like this one before. I've defeated men like you before. You'll be just at the point at the end of my dagger very soon, sir. You just wait.
Your daggers are at the bottom of the ocean. We threw them out when you got here. Everything that you could use to escape are gone. You have nothing. Your friends don't even know where you are. The last we heard, the big one is heading towards the Ironback Mountains. Your friends are busy making pornography. Nobody cares that you die here, except me. Me, I care about what happens to you. It matters to me what happens to you. I'm the only one in the world that you have any value to. I love you in my own little way because you're special to me. You're going to help me. You're going to feed the headman. And I'm going to watch and I'm going to enjoy it. And it's going to be beautiful. Now eat and drink. Your wounds have not fully healed. I cannot deliver you to the headman scarred and ugly and hideous and stinking of prison. That would not do. You're my special treat, Barty. Barty, you're my special treat. Now, outside, on a rickety old tore up ship, barely qualified to call itself a ship, but it floats. It does float, and its sails are, for the most part, still cloth and canvas, and they work. But this rickety old ship is tossed against some rather choppy waters, going precariously close to a very high cliff face. On this ship are a group of about a dozen skinny, starved crewmen, as well as VMAC, Lefty, Jamala. Lefty standing at the prow of the ship, and one of the crewmen comes up to her.
We can't risk it getting any closer. I don't see the cave, and the tide is coming in. We'll be crushed against the rocks. We have to turn around.
Rule, do I see anything at the cliff?
Roll search.
Oh.
Okay, no, you don't see anything. You're looking, and it's just, it's rock face. You hear what they're saying. It's creeping up, but this is your shot. I mean, if you don't see this torch out there on the cliff, you don't see the light that should show you where the cave is, that guard's not going to risk it again. He's not going to be out there.
Where's VMAC during all this?
Where does he want
to
be?
VMAC, if we're looking for something, VMAC would want to be right next to Lefty.
I would imagine everybody's kind of up the ship at the same place.
Well, if someone's asking Lefty, where is it, then VMAC's going to take a look.
Okay, go for it.
12.
Oh, yeah, you see it. It's blinking kind of in and out because the water is going up and down.
Up and down.
But you see it, and you look, and you look, and you just want to make sure that's it. You can see it.
So, hey, Lefty is right there and points right at it.
Okay, so really? You just got to tell the crew?
Do I see it?
Yeah, you can see it now that he's pointing it out to you.
Look, there's a light.
Yes, you must go to the light.
We're all going to die here, and it'll be your fault, Captain.
We will have paid you well enough, sir. You shall obey Captain Lefty.
All hands come about. So he brings a ship around. He gets you guys as close as possible. At this point, you've got to row out there. Well, you'll be rowed out there because except for Lefty, she's the only really sea person here. So everybody's going on this little trip, right?
Yes, I mean, we're all invested in this. If we stepped on this boat to begin with, we're going all the way out in the dinghy.
So you guys row up to it's kind of a small shelf where the cave is at, and you see one of the guards. He keeps looking down back in the cave like he's scared something is going to jump out and bite him. And as you guys are rowing closer, he starts motioning to you with his hands to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up.
Well, we have seen this man before.
Yes. Yes, this is the guard that... You guys have talked to this or met this guy named Worm. He's this real slimy guy who works in the jail. He's one of the guys that gives the food and the water and stuff like that to the prisoners. He introduced you to the guard as somebody else, like another Confederate that you guys have to pay. And he's the one with the keys, basically, to get you in.
Okay. We've met him before, then.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we wrote closely to there, and as quickly as possible. And I suppose those of us who can help how many crewmen are with us? Any?
Just two.
Just two?
Yeah, to row the boat and row it back.
Okay. And we're under the dead of night here.
No. It's not night yet.
Okay. Well, don't.
Is it like misty sunset?
Well, it's very dark where you guys are at because of the cliff face.
I tell the crew people we must all be quiet, and then we get up to the guard and dock somehow, tie off.
He says to be quiet as the waves start crashing around. It's like anybody can hear anything over the waves.
Do I look like a seaman?
Stupid lizard people.
Hey, watch what you say of her.
Orders, Captain.
The crew should stay on the boat and watch it. VMAC and Jamala and I should proceed.
If we keep the boat here too long, the tide will take us. We'll hold out here as long as possible. We'll meet you back at the docks if we have to go back onto the ship. If we have to take the ship back, it won't survive for more than a few more hours.
All right, well, we'll move fast, but stay as long as you can.
Yes, Captain. This is your crew, by the way. They are paid. They are loyal. They also, the type of crew people that you're getting, they may not even like their captain, but they're never going to shit on you. They're fiercely loyal to whoever their captain is. So.
Okay.
Well, I say to the guard who's helping us, quickly, we must make haste. Where do we find Barty Gleeman?
Worm will take you to him. We got to go quickly. The tide's coming, and this cave is going to be flooded soon. So is this it? Just the three of you?
Is really what is needed.
Okay. Sure, let's go. I mean, the gold is gold. Let's...
You're damn right. That's a whole patty cake session you're walking away with.
follow me. Leads the way down the cave with a torch, and he takes you to an iron gate. He opens it with his keys, and you guys head down. Once you get down to the end of this tunnel, it branches right and left. He tells you to go right. Once you hit the gate at the end of this tunnel, Worm will be waiting for you there. He's got to go back to his shift. Is there anything else?
Once we get to Worm, he will give us further instructions. I assume we must be stealthy here.
Yes, absolutely.
Well then.
So there's no patrols in this lower or in this area because of the tide coming in. So this in a couple hours, this whole section you're in right now will be completely flooded. So if you're not back here, you will not get out this way.
All right. Well, let's get in this cave so we can get out of it as soon as possible.
Yes, we'll make haste. And so we go to the end of the tunnel.
About 100 feet down, you guys finally come to the iron gates where Worm is supposed to meet you. And you don't see him there.
This was the only path to go down. Where is Worm? Why isn't he here?
Oh, we might have to improvise this escape.
What is the walls made out of?
Stone. It's like a cavern. It's cut out.
It's stone, is it?
Yeah. Put yourself in earth in here. That's a cave-in. That's what that is.
It's a very reliable spell. It's not done us wrong.
No. It's surrounded by earth, VMAC. It's ridiculous. Maybe he's running late. Well, wait. I could pop my head around the corner.
I'm just saying, if we need the plan B.
We don't have time to wait, Jamala. That you heard them. We have a couple hours before this whole cave floods.
I have plans.
Now, when I trust my crew to bring our boat around, how do we get back to our boat once we're in a flooded cave?
So, the iron gate, how is it connected to the stone around it?
The bottom part of it is jammed down into the stone. The top part of it, there's a crossbeam that's jammed into the sides, and it's bolted into that crossbeam.
I'm just trying to figure out the logic. VMAC, okay, so it's like they're driven into the stone.
Yep.
And then the top bits are bolted?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Are we waiting for Worm for a key or to lead us?
Both.
But it's not like there's like 12 different caves to choose from. There's this gate that we know we need to get through.
Yes.
And I'm only trying to go the stealthy route because I don't want to grab too much attention, but how sturdy is this gate?
Are you kind of giving it a little bit of a jingle? Really, if you, VMAC could probably power through it and eventually work it out of its holdings. It's iron, it's salt water, it's flooding all the time. It's not in great shape.
So if I softened the ground and loosened it up,
mm-hmm.
I could probably rip out the bolts without too much.
More than likely, yeah.
Okay. And without causing too much a ruckus.
Right.
So VMAC does soften earth.
Always a bad sign when the game master giggles. That's what I'm going to call you now, Giggles. Mr. Giggles.
Okay, soften earth. Casting of 11.
Yeah, you hit it. I mean, you can almost just put your hand down. So you get a 2-point bonus to effect.
11.
Yeah, it's just the way you want it. You got this nice, long, deep, squishy earth.
Right under the gate. Yeah. I don't want to make everything. I don't want to be sinking into it.
No, it's about 4 inches wide. And the length of the cavern, or the width of the cavern, and it's as deep as you could possibly want, thinking how far could they really have driven these things down?
So VMech now starts to kind of shake the bars and try to move them out of the way.
Yeah, and it makes kind of this squishy, muddy noise as you can almost lift them up.
Oh, okay.
And then pull it towards you, and you can get about two. If you pull it towards you, you can get about 2 or 3 feet of height on it before the pressure from the top wants to snap it back down. If you try to pull any more, it's already kind of making a little bit of a metal groaning sound, but it's not loud. If you keep pushing it, it'll...
Good. And I'm holding there kind of like with the 2 to 3 feet space. Can you two sneak around?
Yes, we can.
Sneak under.
But we don't want to leave you here, VMAC.
Oh, go find the worm.
Oh, okay, all right. So we go in.
Okay. So you guys sneak through. You get a little muddy from the little mud trench that he made. And they're through.
Thank you, VMAC.
I put it down, and my fear is that if a guard does end up coming down here and find a broken gate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, if a guard gets as far as the gate, wouldn't they have already crossed Jamala and I?
Well,
I'm not as concerned about breaking a gate.
If we move fast enough, that won't be a concern.
VMAC tries to just basically, at this point, rip it off the hinge. Do I have to do a strength check or something?
Mm-hmm.
12. Actually, that was a critical, so...
Yeah, reroll it.
Total of 16.
So you're able to almost pull it straight up to about chest high, and it's starting to get real loud. You could go further, but it's getting loud.
At that point, I kind of want to just, like, see if I can slide under and...
Yeah, you can navigate.
At that point, I kind of want to just slide under and...
Yeah, you can navigate under there. You just got to keep the pressure up, and then you... kind of wiggle yours back underneath it, and then
At this point, I would have... No, I can't just... Can I just, like, at will, turn off softened earth?
The softened earth is at the bottom.
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't want to get muddy. Yes, I'm...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you just relax the spell. It doesn't, like... Yeah, it can snap closed, yeah.
Okay, so
well,
I'm just,
that's
like...
that's good, too, because then when you put the gate down, it doesn't go back in the wall.
It ain't
so that
going
when we're
back
running,
running out. After bending it like this, it's going to stay that way.
Yeah, it's never going back down.
So we do have a clear path.
Everybody who sees this gate knows something was here. But they're going to be confused. They're going to be confused. They think that it came out, not went in. Okay, so you guys are...
We're tippy-toeing through the darkness very carefully.
Okay.
Hopefully V-Mac can manage that with his giant feet.
You guys come to an intersection in the hall. It's a three-way. You came down one, and you've got another path. One slightly forward to the right, and another one dead left. Kind of in this center area where it looks like a bunch of garbage and waste has been... piling up, like people just chuck it down into the water when the tide is up, and as the water recedes, it just kind of deposits it right here. There's a few corpses and feces and.
Oh, well, isn't that pleasant?
It smells delightful in here. Without that guard, without that damn worm, we have absolutely no guide through this labyrinth.
Can Wolfbear maybe inspect these tunnels for us?
Yes, my thoughts exactly.
The issue of Wolfbear is that he can't really go invisible. So if they see him, they'll definitely know something is up.
Or that the place is haunted.
My fear, my VMAX fear is... Anyways, hold on real quick. Before we go down that path, the skill divination.
Mm-hmm.
What does that do?
It allows you to divine things.
So say divine, which is the correct path?
Yeah.
Well then. With my D12 plus 10 to divination, I think I want to try that.
All right, hit it.
Yeah.
That would be a total of 20.
That way.
What did you just
when
do?
When we get out of this tunnel, we are so finding Worm and mugging him for our money back.
So hold on, to describe what VMAC does, he puts his hand on the wall and just kind of like communes with the building.
It is that way.
What have you been? What did you do when you were gone? My gods!
I am shaman. Is what I do. I commune.
All right. Well,
he's psychic.
Let's go, you guys.
So you travel down the left hand passage, and it starts to go up, and then you hit a set of stairs, and the stairs are kind of curved to the right, and you head back up there, and at the end you come to a wooden door. Through the other side, you can see, or like from underneath and the edges, you can see that there is light beyond where you're at.
What kind of light? Torchlight, I assume?
Yes.
Methinks the normal-looking one should go forward.
I take it that's me?
Vimax, she's not exactly dressed as a god.
She is at least a little more their size and skin tone.
Can this door even open? Is it locked? I try the lock.
It's not locked.
Oh, well.
So are you opening it?
Very slowly.
Then you open it, and you see on the door is painted the words word trash.
So, okay, that makes sense.
Dispose of bodies here.
Typical, we're sneaking around in refuse and body parts. That makes sense.
At least we do what we know.
It's a shame Jennifer had to miss this.
Oh, he would love this.
Do I see anyone if I'm picking out?
You don't see anybody, no.
Are there nooks and crannies to duck into?
No, it's a prison. It's just basically a straight wall.
There's no one here. VMAC, would you like to touch the wall again and tell us what direction to go in?
Well, it's just a straight path, right? Oh, it's a T-junction?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well then. Oh, it was a 1. Plus 10.
But you rolled a 1.
But I rolled a 1. Duh.
Maybe we should go back.
So basically, my feeling is the other way was the right way.
Yeah.
Guys, I'm starting to get bad feeling of where we are.
We're in an awful prison, Vimaka, but that's of
course. Well, I mean direction. I think other way is the right way.
You were so confident before.
Yeah. How confident am I feel with this? Let's go the other direction.
You've never done this before, so maybe the first time was wrong, but then this could be wrong. But maybe there's something, I don't know, maybe...
So basically...
Maybe you could try going left or right, or do you want to go back to the bodies? Right. You know.
My assessment of the situation is, if we were in a trash tunnel, it seemed to be like the spokes of a wheel. So if this dungeon is somewhat circular, then... Then if we come out here, we're only coming to one other side of the same structure anyway. So best to go with your first gut feeling and have us charge forward.
Okay.
Though your doubting really does concern me, VMAC.
Well, you choose which way then, because I don't know.
Let's go left.
Okay. You head left and you come to another T-junction, but there's signs here.
Hey!
One sign points back the way you came. And it says torturing, dismemberment, and otherwise unhappy things. The other one says rooms, beds, and prison cells.
I think prison cell is the right direction.
Let's hope if he's back there, then we've come too late.
That's our kind of optimism.
What's your spot skill?
Spot? Will detection work?
Yes. Do you have detection?
I have detection.
What's the level and the perception level?
It's my perception level is a D12.
Okay.
Oh, level of 5. Mm-hmm. My detection is a D12 plus 8.
Oh, wow. So you hear somebody coming.
Oh, yeah. Shh. Someone is coming.
I would like to roll detection to see if I can perceive which direction they're coming from.
Okay.
I'll do that too.
Okay. I have a pile.
And I have my own
pile.
I got a critical.
I had a critical failure.
A critical pass.
Oh, okay.
And I had a 1.
So that would be 12 plus 1, which I rolled the second time. Just like you. Yes, 13 plus 3, 16.
Nice. You can tell it's coming down from the cells area, but it's not boots. And there's no metal. It's not like a guard. It's almost like padded feet, just like... regular like slippers or soft-soled shoes, and you hear keys jangling. It's not like if it was a guard, you'd hear thunk, 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 you know, big heavy leather boots, and you'd hear iron and leather creaking and stuff.
So. Have we seen Worm in person before?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, Lefty has, yes.
I catch everybody's eyes, and I say, against the wall! A demotion that we get against the wall... the path we were just coming from.
Okay.
VMAC gives this look of, it won't matter how close to the wall I am, but okay.
it's a T. We're at the T junction again, and so if we're down the path we were, then no one will see us until they get here. And then we can beat them up.
I'm agreeing. I'm just saying, it doesn't matter how close to the wall I am. This is an silent argument with expression eyes.
Yeah, his head is like an inch or two below the ceiling.
My plan is to you know, assault and knock unconscious at the very least whoever comes up.
Okay.
I like this plan. Club at ready.
So is everybody flattening themselves up against the wall-ish?
Yep.
Who's doing the flogging?
I guess it'll be me.
How about the person that actually has skills in club?
I can hit stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably good at hitting things. I did accidentally kill a Goliath.
I mean, as far as things go, it's like, of the people that should be ready to attack, it should be Lefty or me.
Yeah, it should be Lefty. Yeah. She's your striker.
We don't want to kill this person because if I hear the jingle of keys, mm-hmm. that means they have access to the cells, and that means that they probably know where Barty is. So I want to, assault them up against the wall, hand over mouth, and give him a menacing lean. Ugh.
Okay, explain this whole...
without killing them.
Okay, to explain this whole thing, because you guys are kind of doing this in character with glances and little subtle whispers, and you intend to be quiet, but as the listeners probably know, once anybody starts having these heated discussions, they actually start...
picking up and...
Yes. And they're like, no, I can hit him. No, you just let me do it. Is somebody there? Come out, I'm armed. Lefty?
I know your name.
It's Worm.
Worm, oh my goodness, it's about time. Where have you been?
Look, it's gone bad. They're going to execute their friend. They're taking him to the headman.
What's the headman?
What does that sound like? Look, you're in the right tunnel. We'll just go down the back the other way towards the torture and dismemberment rooms.
Okay.
Just come on, follow me. Okay, so he's actually in a rush now. He grabs his keys, so they're not jangling, and he's almost running down the hall with you guys.
Okay, we're making as much noise as he is.
He's not making a lot of noise because he's wearing light clothing.
Some of us may be making more noise.
Yeah, he's kind of wearing ragged clothing and, you know, his belt is a rope and he's barefoot, so.
Rill, why don't you describe Worm?
Worm is a short, kind of nasty looking, skeevy looking man. He's got kind of a balding thing going on with a bit of a comb over, partly shaven as if he started to shave and then just gave up. He's dirty and grimy looking. He's wearing ragged clothing. And like I said, he's barefoot. The only thing he has with him is keys. I mean, his job is to carry food and water, of which he's probably eating quite a bit of that as he's dropping it off to the prisoners. His nickname of Worm isn't just because he works underground in tunnels. He's a wormy looking guy. So his name fits him.
Okay. So I guess we're following him and being cautious still.
Yes. So he passes by several other tunnels and several doors. He keeps looking back real nervous towards you guys. Even though he's holding the keys, when he stops for a second and looks down a tunnel, you can hear them jangling a little bit because he's shaking. He's so nervous. He finally gets you down to the end of a large wooden door. And he goes, through here. I'm not going any further. I can't handle this. So give me my money now.
Okay. I get my pouch and it is hefty with gold,
mm-hmm.
as promised.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get your money when we get out of here alive, Worm. You were late. We had to figure out the first part of this tunnel on our own. At very least, you need to get us up to where we know we can find our friend and safely try to rescue him.
Look, you know the way back. You just go straight down that tunnel, take a left, and then out.
And that tunnel will flood in but moments.
I'm concerned about the way back. I just don't trust you.
Why not? Look, I've gotten you this far. I got you.
You got us this far.
Yeah, I told you how to get in.
Yeah, to a locked gate. Where were you?
They were doing the transfer. I had to be there. Our plane didn't.
Worm, you'll get your money. We're good for it, but you're leading the way.
How am I going to go get the money back from you guys? After you guys take him, you're going to be taking
you're
him
not
during the
us,
execution.
Worm.
They're going to wonder how
Worm,
you got in.
You're not leaving us. That's how you'll get your money.
You go through the door.
They're going to kill me. You know that, right?
With enough money, you can go somewhere else.
They'll kill me before I get my money. Double.
I mean, if they kill you before you get your money, then that means they're killing all of us at the same time, because it'll be in this cave.
Now you're threatening to kill me?
And I know this cave's gonna flood soon. So why don't you continue leading the way, so that at least you can try to get some money.
I expect a nice boat.
Right now, your options are lead the way and get paid, or lead the way and we all get killed.
You're a pirate. You know that? You're a pirate.
Yes, she is actually a pirate.
A pirate queen.
Shit. Fine, fine, fine.
After you.
After me. He unlocks the door and he opens it up and he walks in. You guys are in this big round room.
Well, before we walk in the room, can we see through the door?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so Worm is starting to walk into the room. What do we see? We're still not in the room.
You see the far wall is rounded. Up at the top are torches, and you can see Barty standing in the middle of the room. He's not chained or tied or anything. He's just standing there in the middle of the room, and he looks up and sees you guys.
Barty, come!
It's a trap!
Worm looks around at you guys.
D-Mac plants his massive hand right on Worm's shoulder.
I wish you guys would have just given me the money earlier. Then this would have gotten messy. You guys hear the clank, 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 clank coming from the tunnel behind you.
Oh. Barty, come!
Seriously, Worm?
Wait, no, you're not chained or anything, Barty. You can.
No, I don't think I can.
You're kind of afraid to. You've heard something moving in the room. You're kind of afraid that if you move, it might know you're there. But everybody's making noises now, and it still hasn't.
I can't. I'm good. You come in here.
The clanking stops, and you guys see that coming down the tunnel is a phalanx of armored knights.
Close your eyes, everyone! Close your eyes, and I unleash a big blast of light down the tunnel.
Roll it, so I can paint this picture properly. It's a phalanx of knights. The tunnel is filled with armored soldiers, like rows of them.
What are they standing on?
They're standing on the stone, but I mean, but it's not.
Oh, stone. Okay.
I know where you're going with this. Here's your problem. You might get the first row. The line of guards goes, or knights, goes far, so far back the tunnel that they sweep around the way you came to where you can't see them.
Oh. We really don't want to go that way.
Y'all are in an intense pickle now.
Can Tamala do the fire blast and we run into the other side of the door using Worm as some kind of hostage, not that he probably has any value, and slam the door behind us, barricading it, dealing with whatever's in the room before we have to deal with the massive armies.
V-Mac, come and get me!
I'll come and get you, you stupid face.
I'm not going in the darkness! There's scary things in the darkness! I'm weak! V-Mac!
Oh, I hate you so much. I didn't even want to come on this stupid trip. I liked it in the woods. Barty's a stupid head.
I rolled a 14 for casting.
Okay. You start trying to work your spell, and you're saying everything right, the hand gestures are right, but nothing is happening. It's like you can't grab the magic. Like.
Oh, no.
You're trying to reach for something that's not there.
Would I know why this would happen?
There's no magic here. Whatever you're trying to do right here, right now, there's no magic. It's not working.
My magic is not working, and it's not my fault.
What?
So we gotta go in this room now.
Charging at us.
I try to do a blessing of the seven winds down the hallway.
Not a thing. There's no magic, no elemental magic, no natural magic, no magic. Magic is gone here.
I have nothing either.
We better take our chances. Break
into the room. Close the door.
Yeah, B-Mac, with Worm in hand.
Throw Worm at the guards. Throw him.
No. Slams the door. Worm's still with us.
Then you hear a clapping. This is great. All of you together again. It's like a reunion. And you're so clever to have come so far. Don't blame Worm. You guys do pay well. But I pay more.
Do I see where this voice is coming from?
Yes. Yeah, there's actually a balcony up near the top of one of the sides of the room. And there's the guy with the tattoo head. Barty knows this man well. He's standing up there with a couple guards flanking his side. And he's just kind of leaning over there in a almost casual way. Like his arms crossed. He's just kind of leaning over the balcony with a goofy looking grin on his face.
Is that balcony with the three of them the only balcony that's populated?
Yes. There's only one balcony.
Do I have a bow and arrow?
She's never had a bow and arrow before.
No, but why wouldn't you have something for Barty?
If we were going to bring something for Barty, VMAC has a couple of daggers.
See, now that would make more sense, I think.
So VMAC kind of like emotions Barty to come near him.
I'm not moving. I'm staying in the light. Come to the light.
Are we in the darkness?
Yeah, you're in the darkness. Well, it's not dark, but it's not this nice pillar of light that Barty's standing in.
VMAC starts inching towards, with worm in hand, towards Barty.
And you're probably wondering, why doesn't my magic work? Why doesn't my magic work? It doesn't work because I don't want it to.
What are you?
I'm the man in charge. You see, the king has a special place for all those people that do really special things wrong to him, and he brings them to me, and I get to do whatever I want to them. And today, I'm going to feed your friend to the headman. And you guys are the appetizers.
Headman?
Let's get to the light real quick, okay?
You see, my magic controls this entire place. I'm the one. I knew you guys were here. I knew that Worm was making a deal with you. I offered him more money. You can kill him if you want to. That just means I don't have to pay.
Amen. Hey, throw a worm at him.
I have a better idea. Barty, it is good to see you.
And
VMAC! Thank God!
VMAC basically palms a dagger to Barty.
Ah, yes. Wink, wink.
Are the walls here smooth, or are they maybe climbable with, say, dragon claws?
They're fairly smooth, but they're still stone. And the room itself isn't completely, like, barren. I mean, there's piles of, like, corpses and bones and stuff like that scattered around. In one corner, there's this mushy pile of, looks like, rotted flesh.
So there are little things to hide behind?
It's almost like everything's kind of pushed out to the edges of the room, so that this whole area is fairly cleverly barren, so that you don't have a lot of stuff to hide behind. That being said, there's not much reason to hide. The guards up near the mage don't have ranged weapons. They've got swords and a shield and breastplate.
How high up is the balcony?
About 20 feet.
20 feet.
Hmm. That's a perfect distance for a dagger. You told me that I was hearing things in the room before they got here.
Yes, the room, the things you were hearing seemed to have gone quiet, so.
What kind of things was I hearing?
Breathing.
Was it a deep breathing, like a giant monster breathing?
It was deep breathing.
Am I to assume that that's the headman?
Yes, but you haven't seen, like a place where, like, they put you down so that you can have your head cut off. I mean, there's really, the headman thing doesn't make sense because you're not put into a place to have your head chopped off.
So this is no executioner's room then?
Right.
Okay, great.
If I crept in the shadows and tried to scale the wall under the balcony, would they be able to look down and see me coming?
Probably.
Well, they'd also notice that you went beyond their scope of vision.
But if you guys keep talking and keep them distracted, it's only 20 feet.
So who are you?
His name is Son of a Bitch.
Okay, Son of a Bitch, who are you?
I already answered that question. I'm the man in charge.
That's what you are. That's not who you are.
No, that is who I am. I am the man in charge. I'm in charge of you right now. Your life, your death, all of it is under my control.
Oh, big words, big man. You obviously are not familiar with who we are.
Yes, I am. That's why you're here.
Well, then prepare to be surprised. Even from your privileged position, you are well in range to die, sir.
So during that exchange, was I able to around, climb up the wall, and get to the balcony?
Roll stealth.
Okay.
Yes, actually, you were able to make it up towards that wall. You try to climb it, but you're not able to get a good grip on the wall itself, on the little nooks and crannies there. This room, there is only two ways in and out. The balcony and the door you guys came from. There is no other room, no other anything in here. So the balcony is just there for viewing. It was meant to be kept out of harm's way and to keep whoever's watching whatever's going to happen in this room, keep them clean and free of filth. There's no corpses, no litter, no anything near this thing. It's kept fairly safe.
VMAC kind of like nudges Barty, implying the dagger.
Use it.
Throwing dagger!
Okay, well, right before you guys do that, he still actually talks.
That's why I wanted to throw it at him!
Okay.
While he's monologuing.
Yes. He does like to talk, doesn't he? Now, what was the last thing you said?
I said, like, you don't know who we are. Like, we're gonna kill you. even from your privileged position, you're going to die.
You'll be surprised.
And from your position down there on the floor beneath me, you're going to be chewed up and shat out. Behold. And when he extends his hand out in this kind of goofy little gesture, this way over the top gesture of, like, you know, like he's on stage or something.
Ta-da!
Yeah, the torches flare up. For a brief moment, you can actually, the Jamala and VMAC can feel magic surging from him. And the torches, you know, the flames on the torches go 3 feet high, and the whole room is lit up, and that massive pile of rotten flesh wakes up.
Oh.
And you're throwing your dagger?
Yes.
Throw it.
Alrighty, D12.
It's a good thing.
Get a stroke, party.
For the dagger, I got a 13.
Yeah, you hit him.
Ah! Son of a bitch! I told you you'd die by the point of my dagger!
Roll damage. Of course, he's over here gesturing. He's like this big pose of hit me with something in the face.
I'm flying, Jack.
Yeah. Hold me.
He stepped in front of his guards to gesture dramatically.
Oh, you fool.
I rolled a 12.
Shit. So the dagger flies through the air, catches him in the shoulder. He looks down and goes, oh, fuck. And he's so close to the balcony that he tries to support himself, and he slips, and he falls over the edge right in front of Lefty.
Yeah.
As he's falling, Lefty, you should lift up your sword to stick him.
I want to use him to get us out of there safely, so I think I wait for him to hit the ground and then pin him down once he gets there with my foot on his chest and my sword at the bottom of his chin.
Okay. Assuming he survived the fall.
He's not going to. He has -3 hit points already.
Oh, okay.
And he just died. So he hits the ground, and you hear the bone kind of break, and blood kind of pops out of his mouth, and kind of like a mini eruption of blah, and just cakes over his face. And then the guards kind of lean over the edge like, oh shit, what happened? And
question.
Yes.
With him gone, magic?
Let's
no.
Give it some dramatic pause for a second.
No, I want my magic.
Just...
So he hits the ground.
Mm-hmm.
See, I told you.
What about the giant thing of bones and rotting flesh?
It, like I said, it's getting up. It's moving slowly, and it opens a single big eye right at you guys. And it's basically, it's a giant head with nothing but a single eye in the middle and a huge row of razor-sharp teeth.
Oh.
It looks like in one bite, he could probably eat Jamala and Lefty in one big gulp.
Motherfucking Colin.
So,
I want to fight a beholder. I'd love to fight a beholder. Can we fight a beholder? Thanks, Colin Peterson.
Oh, so we're spread out. So his giant eye sees the cluster in the center, but am I kind of off the radar against the wall in the shadows?
Yes. And none of you guys have heard of beholders before.
Right.
As a matter of fact, they don't exist in this world.
Megan,
they don't have a name.
And I still have Worm.
Yes. And Worm is just shaking.
I run up to the dead man, take the dagger out of his shoulder, and I point it at him. I told you, you son of a bitch.
Barty being Barty, you know, I expect kind of a once over from him, like, hey, you know, while he's dead, what kind of shit does he have? He has a book that he's kept strapped to him.
Ah. Yeah. Hey, Jamala, he's got a book. It looks like it's magic book.
Okay.
I'd scamper
over there.
And VMAC kind of like positions it. Like, I'm imagining...
Creepy and the Peter Bizzle.
I'm imagine like I basically I step in front of Jamal and like motion for her to go behind me, and I'm trying to act as a barrier between the monster and the rest of everyone else.
I'm still going. I'm going over to Lefty.
No, that's what I'm like I'm
gotcha.
So like Lefty and Barty and all of them are together, and I'm between them and the monster with worm in hand.
Okay, and he's Pete.
I have a plan.
You have a plan.
Because VMAC does not like disloyalty.
This head thing has started to float above the ground.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Why, hello there.
You're heading to
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm heading to the book.
All right, everybody declare an action.
Scampering to the book, please.
Okay. I'm kind of like observing the headman, waiting for it to try to do something for the headman to attack me. With the plan of tossing worm at it.
Okay.
I'm standing, I'm assuming that I only have this one dagger. Is that true?
I have two more daggers on me for you.
Excellent. Well,
You do not know that.
Yes, well, I take that one dagger from his shoulder and I turn and I'm assuming that I'm just in my britches. Mm-hmm. And I turn just next to VMAC and I have my dagger at the ready.
Okay, so VMAC and Worm and Barty are standing against the beholder. Where's Lefty?
So once it was clear that Magic Man was dead, I start creeping, staying in the shadows as stealthily as possible to get around as close to, but the idea is waiting for the headman to move forward so that I end up around and behind him.
Okay.
Nice. Flanking bonus.
Because he only has the one big eye, right?
Yes.
Alrighty.
So now, Jamala, you've got the book. Lefty is going to be moving around to the other side of the room. She rolls a d12, I think. She is doing okay. VMAC is
more of like a deferred movement. I'm waiting for.
Okay, so you're readying the action to toss.
Based on like, yeah.
Okay. All right. And Barty, you're next to VMAC.
Yes.
The headman kind of floats towards you guys. The gore that this thing is kind of covered with is dripping down off of his body. And it has kind of finished, gotten to as high as it wants to be, and started hovering towards you. And its tongue is just licking its bottom lip and its upper lip. And it just keeps saying,
what's it look like from behind?
It looks like a big red mass of floating jelly.
Like, are there, like you know how eyeballs are all like veiny and
it doesn't have anything like that. It's like, got like ridges around it, but and it's kind of like almost like a massive spaghetti.
So like maybe I could chop off some of that spaghetti and make it.
It looks like part of it. It looks like part of its body. So
it would hurt.
Yes. Oh yeah, it would definitely. It'd be like stabbing him in the back.
Okay. Done.
Okay, so your action is to attack it from behind, and
I will be tossing worm.
I want to cut off as many of those spaghetti things as possible.
No, it's not like they're independent. It's like the texture of his back looks like a
kind of like a brain.
Like a brain.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I just want to stab through that and cause as much hurt as possible.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't have, like, arms or tentacles or anything that's going to reach around, right?
Nope.
It's an eye and a mouth.
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I see her doing this, and the plan is to distract the headman as much as possible.
Yep. Okay.
Sorry, Worm.
What do I see in this book? What I can take from it?
It's a journal. It's not even a spell book.
Dear diary.
Dear diary.
should I roll to see what I can discover?
Yes.
Okay. Perception?
Intelligence.
I rolled an 8.
So, in the first part of the book, as you're thumbing through it, basically what you have is this guy who is supposed to be the magician of the king's court or whatever, and he's pretty bad at it. He's been just basically stockpiling books to hopefully improve his ability to do it, and then he decides that he's never going to be the wizard he wants to be, so he's going to summon demons and make deals with demons to get what he wants.
Ah, well then, that makes sense.
So, that's the first part. That's what you've gotten so far. You're basically thumbing through it. I suck. I got a plan. Oh, great, what's your plan?
Oh demon fuck. A, demon
demons,
B.
Okay. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm still reading. I want to get to the point where it says, and here's how I banished all the magic. And here's how I summoned this specific demon.
Okay.
Toss. I want to toss the worm.
Okay, toss him. Throw him. Sorry. And what is Barty doing? He's got one dagger. And
yeah, the idea is as soon as the headman is looking down at the worm in order to eat him in terms of distraction, that's when I would throw the dagger into his eye.
Oh, he wouldn't be looking down at worm. Worm is being thrown at his mouth.
Well, even so, that's
whenever it's being distracted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And
well, that was the first critical.
Wait, what are you doing? Don't do it. Ah!
22.
And he gets tossed right at the headman. The headman's mouth opens up and receives the first smack.
I wonder if that was a good idea.
Throwing dagger!
Roll it.
Am I the only one who likes this corn pottage Doritos?
Yes.
Son of a bitch!
Oh, yeah.
What'd you get?
17.
Nice. Roll damage.
Rolling damage. Cold shot, by the way, to the eye.
So add three to your damage roll.
That would be a 12. 15.
Shit. You hit right in the eye. And
shot to the eye, son of a bitch!
And it howls, and these things, these tentacles explode out from its body. All that brainy, spaghetti-looking stuff on the back that looked like part of his back was just these things wrapped around its body. And they just explode, and at the end of each of the tentacles is another eye.
Oh, God!
That was a mistake! That was a real Brody! I'm sorry!
Lefty, you get one action before this thing starts to.
How many of them are there now?
Countless.
There's 9 of them.
Well, I'm going to kill or hit as much and whatever I can that's closest as fast as possible.
Okay, roll and attack.
Okay.
Okay, you hit. Okay, you actually cut through 2 of them. And it whips around towards you, or just like kind of spins at the reaction of you cutting it, and it makes its attack.
Oh, God.
Well, it's going to have 3 attacks. Roll to defend. And you manage to duck under one of the tentacles that's trying to hit you. But, the second attack, one of the eyes, they almost like move like snakes, and then they stop. Like a snake does, right before it strikes, and this eye shoots out this ray of red energy that hits straight for VMAC, heads in the direction of VMAC, but it goes far to the right and hits the ground, and it sizzles and pops like acid, not like fire, but like acid, and it's actually bubbling a little bit.
I don't like this headman no more.
The other one was a 6. The other one actually was going for Barty, who, are you going to dodge or what?
Hell yeah, I'm going to dodge. I'm going to acrobatics out of the fucking way.
All right, well, then roll.
I'll have you know my acrobatics are known across the land, headman. I destroyed a man in black because... I critically failed! I got a 1!
50% of the time that you talk yourself up, you critically fail. You should really stop that.
Take 8 points of damage.
Now, was I at full life when I was
yes.
during this?
Yes.
Okay.
This wasn't the same red beam. This was actually, when it struck, it just didn't, it kind of like moved forward. But it didn't shoot out anything. It was like a roll of sound, was like a bass roll, and it just smacks into you and knocks you flat against the wall across the other side of the room.
I got hit by the web ray. I'm down to one life.
I see that there's things happening in my periphery. I'm like hastily thumbing through the pages, like bullshit.
You see a picture of the actual creature.
Bingo.
Okay, and it was an accident. It wasn't a demon. It was pulled through from another dimension, and it was an intelligent being. They actually talk to each other, and this creature is a creature of magic, and it taught the wizard. Because it was imprisoned, the wizard, or it was trapped in a realm it didn't like, it didn't know. It was teaching the wizard magic in exchange for its release, but the wizard betrayed it. Now, the creature itself can turn off magic in the area, so the wizard built this room in a balcony to a place where it can go, and he could still control the creature, and it couldn't do anything about it.
And I've gotten all this from the book.
Yes.
Okay.
You can look at the, because he drew a lot of pictures and stuff, and you can see like a magicless zone and stuff. He would label stuff so you could see it. Also, he bound himself to the creature. So the creature was literally like his mind was being forcibly controlled by this wizard. So you guys killed the wizard. The last big thing that this wizard did was this big grand gesture where he's like, behold. And now that whole thing is trapped inside this guy's mind, this creature's mind. That's all it wants to do the only thing running through its mind is, I'm supposed to kill all these things? Behold me. And...
And you all got that from in 2 seconds. It was in a diary entry.
No, it was a lot of pictures and a lot of like scribbled notes on the side. Like, you know how when people are writing journal entries and stuff like that, they put like a lot of like footnotes. Footnotes and stuff like that on there. He's picking it up from all this stuff because it was like bound myself to his mind to deal with this problem. You don't know what that problem was, but now you know that his mind is bound to it.
So it's like extra dimensional demons for dummies.
Yes.
I affixed the book to my belt, or however he had it affixed to him, right? Okay. And hastily drag his corpse over my shoulder and trying to get it over to where everybody's doing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
My intention to be like, hey, behold, this thing's dead. And maybe cut off his head and try to control the monster. I don't know. I'm out of ideas.
I think throwing a dagger into its primary eye botched any deal that we could have done with it.
Oh, shit. I'm sorry. You guys have been distracted. You know, the fact that everybody's getting their ass kicked. You can feel magic again.
Okay. So
central eye.
So while I'm holding this, attempting to drag this guy, I would realize naturally that my magic side.
Yeah, as you're picking up and you're sitting there just, you know, we have no way. I've only had, wait a minute, I have magic now.
And then from the darkness comes a vending line.
Okay.
Don't hit it. Things come out of it. You hit it. And then it hits you back and then you only have one life.
Oh, you look awful. Get in the show.
Oh, yeah. Magic.
Pick up Barty and take him away.
Lay on hands.
Okay.
I basically run over to Barty.
That's a psychic power, by the way. You have that regardless of magic.
Oh, okay. I would have just picked up Barty and taken him somewhere where I could.
Yeah.
Pick him up, lay on hands while I carry him over.
So, all right. So you're picking him up and healing him. You're avenging light.
Also,
what is Lefty doing? More attacking?
I'm telling Barty where on my body the last two daggers are so that he can just grab them.
Oh, yes.
War machine.
Thank you. Thank you, VMAC.
War machine
part two.
So, Lefty, what is your plan? This thing swung around, by the way, when you attacked it.
Right.
So what is your plan now? Now you're staring right at its fangy mouth.
I mean, I got a long sword. Can I get it through the roof of his mouth?
Yes, you can. You guys realize that on a certain level, you are really outmatched here. So if you guys consider escape at all, there's only two ways out. Now that magic is back, that could also be an option. I hate that you hit so well.
I don't.
Okay, so she just hit it for another 12 points of damage. she drove her sword right into the roof of this thing's mouth, and it just, it as soon as it gets hit, it pulls itself back, but it has to go upwards, and it hits its head on the ceiling and comes down a little bit, and it's the snaky eye things are going everywhere. And then Jamala?
I rolled a 13.
Nice.
Ah.
Okay. Roll effect.
Avenging Light. Good old Avenging Light.
That, however, was a critical fail.
No, it's an effect test. It doesn't have a critical fail. What's the total?
4.
4. Okay, so it was not as impressive, though. So you cast Avenging Light, and the light...
As I Avenging Light him, I say, behold this!
Hits it, but it just seems to kind of sizzle a little bit. It doesn't seem to hurt it too badly.
Doesn't affect all those eyes.
No, they don't care.
So is it made up of all these different like dead bodies and pieces, or is it just
no,
like...
No, it's just flesh is covered in the gore of the things that it's been eating.
Ah, okay. Because I was going to say, Rebuke Undead would work pretty well against that. But yeah, no.
Mm-hmm.
Do what you got to do.
Lay on hands?
Yeah.
That would be a 12.
Okay.
And for effect, that would be a 4.
All right. So you're feeling 5 points better.
Hooray! I'm at a 6.
And I told him where the daggers are, so he can just...
Okay. So now you're healed, Barty. You've got daggers. It's the headman's turn. Again, he...
Yeah, we get it. We behold.
He said that was a 3. That was an 8. So the second one hit. The first one misses. And that one was a critical failure.
Aha!
So, Lefty, one of the eyes shoots a blue ray at you, and it dodges, or it misses completely. Other attack is going for you.
Oh, good.
Are you trying to dodge or put up some sort of barrier or what?
I will run away. I will attack full retreat towards the VMAC body region.
So you're running, or are you actively trying to dodge? Here's the thing. If you're running, that's an automatic 3-point modifier to try to hit you. If you dodge, whatever you roll, that becomes the target level to hit you.
Let's say this. Let's say I'm dodging because I'm Leffy's more or less pinned against the wall, kind of based on her proximity. We shouldn't all retreat and leave her, so I'll be, say, dodging with the intention of, say, sidling near where she's fighting, and we can double team this.
Okay. So you're moving towards her. Okay. So it hit you.
Ah, lovely.
But at least it didn't have any extra damage.
Should I have rolled for something here?
If you try to roll, you can try to roll to dodge, but you could roll much less than 18. If you roll less than 18, then it's a really good chance he's going to get bonuses to damage.
Yeah, I'm not going to get 18 on that, so.
Okay. You took 4 points of damage.
Ooh.
No, wrong spell. Sorry. sorry. You roll wisdom.
You get the dumb spell.
No.
Oh, no.
Critical failure.
You're blind.
What in the devil's happened to me just now?
Yeah, you're utterly blind.
We gotta get out of here. This is not good. No good.
I can't see anything. This is bad. I'm just backpedaling, running away now towards the Barty VMAC region.
Okay.
Away from the monster, perspective-wise.
So basically,
as soon as you run about 20 feet, we gotta make sure you don't accidentally hit the wall. Okay, you actually went in the right direction. Once you run a certain distance, you can see again.
That was terrible. That thing blinded me. Watch out, some VMAC. Can you get us to the balcony somehow?
I don't know. What's through the wall? The wall. We could. Pass through stone.
I think
there's also the door that you guys came in.
So. Yeah, well, there's a lot of guards.
Yeah, the other guards ran like hell. I don't think these guys are going to be hanging out either.
Try the door. Oh, question. How much time has transgressed since we first arrived?
Maybe about 40 minutes.
Okay. Try the door.
In my mind's eye, the door is relatively pinned next to the beholder. Is that wrong?
No. It is wrong because it's you guys came into the room. The balcony's, like, towards your left. Mm-hmm. You know, the beholder was off in the far side of the room.
Oh.
Okay, here's plan. Here's plan. VMAC a plan. Barty, you are the fast one. You go to door, see if there's any guards there.
So Lefty, you're still stuck up against the wall. These guys are planning over on the other side of the room.
And no, and I'm yelling, Lefty, I'm coming over to help.
So what are you doing, Lefty?
Swinging my sword around, hitting things that might try to hurt me.
Okay, so are you going for a tentacle or a body or the mouth? Or?
I'm gonna do... So they're shooting things out of their eyes.
Yes.
I'm going for eyes.
Good call.
Okay.
Taking are out you, the tentacles.
Now here's the question. Are you going at the eyes individually, like near the edges of them, where it looks like they'd be easy to cut off? Or where they're closer to the body and they're more meaty, almost like as big as an arm, and trying to get more of them?
How many are in my immediate vicinity?
You killed, what'd I say, there were 9 of them?
Yeah, there were 9. She took out 2.
2, so there's 7.
7 left.
There's about 4 of them on one side, and 3 are on the side that's facing you.
I want to do what's ever quickest, so that if there's possibility for me to like hit one and then hit another, like I don't want to take that second to have to like pull my sword out of thickness. I just want to like hit and then be like, no, you're not going to hit me, and hit someone else.
All right, so it's probably safer
like,
to be
only
like
have time to have a counter attack if there's such a thing.
Yeah, it will definitely try to counterattack, but you're going to be in a better position to defend yourself if you're hitting the longer, more narrower part of the stalk than up near the base.
Okay. I'm going to do that then.
She has to roll like a 1 to not hit anything. You know that, right? So one more. So she comes up and she swings up at one of the tentacles coming towards her and right off. So there goes one more eye. Yes, it does react to you.
That's 6 more tentacles.
And it rolled a 1. So the eye comes flying towards you and hits the ceiling instead. Oh, and it just blinks on its way down. Like if you had a snake in the head, it just kind of...
I was basically yelling at Barty to go to the door while I go help Lefty. And
okay.
Help for a potential withdrawal.
Okay.
So I'm going to run towards Lefty.
Jamala, now that you can see.
Oh, that was awful. Since I'm near them, I'm concerned with Lefty's safety. VMAX run off to Lefty, yes, so that's...
Yeah.
I'll help Barty with the door.
Okay. Barty, you're trying to open the door?
Well, I'm running from VMAX. As I'm running from VMAX, I have these 2 daggers, and I'm holding them assassin style, where they're, you know, where they're underneath against my forearm.
Yes.
And so as I'm running by, if I could slash an eye as I go, I would be happy to do that.
I think we're on the other side of the room, or
yeah, you're on the other side of the room. I could toss them, but
I ran you away from the headman. Jed, that way you wouldn't be in damage as I laid hands on you.
That center eye is blind, but it's still there. You know, like if you got poked in the eye with a knife, another knife hitting you in the eye would still hurt.
Ah, okay. Well, then throwing dagger and then run to the door.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Let's not critically fail this time. Big money, no whammy. That is a 13.
Roll damage.
Aha! Son of a bitch.
Yeah, I gotta have smaller enemies fight him. It occurs to me that I've always had these things where the target level to hit him is always like 10, or for him to hit.
I rolled a 12.
Okay, the dagger goes flying across the room, makes a beeline straight for it, managed to hit it in the eye again, and it disappears into the thing's eye. It backs up towards Lefty, howling. Lefty, you're actually in a position now where it's only got 2 tentacles. One of them is dazed, the other one is not, and the rest of its body is completely exposed.
Stab him!
And VMAC, you're closing in, and are you doing anything while running, or are you just running over there?
I'm honestly, with Lefty on the other side, I'd rather ready my club.
Okay. You can, while you're pulling out your club, you're in a position, you have enough room to pull out the club.
Whack.
To make it a charging attack. Yeah. So that was a 15 to hit. Its defense was a 1, so she gets an extra 3 points damage. And she rolled an 8 plus 5 is 13 more points of damage. You drive your sword into the back of this thing up to the hilt. It hits the ground. Your sword is still stuck into it. Every time you try to pull it back out, it screams in agony. And VMAC, go ahead and roll your
20?
All right, just because I've got to.
What was that dice you just held up there?
23. No, it was a 1.
Ah.
And that would be 11 damage.
Damn. Okay, so this thing is on the ground. VMAC charges. Also, you had an extra 3 for the charge.
So 14.
So 14 points of damage. Slams his club down into it, and it shudders for a minute. The tentacles lay flat, and it's just kind of like, it's almost breathing real slow and labored and heavy. So it's out. It's may or may not be dead. It's probably dying.
It's dead enough that we should go.
Whoa, okay. What's the door made out of?
Wood.
I set it on fire with my breath.
Okay.
While that's happening, I'm gonna run over, grab that dagger from the beholder's eye and stick him one more time.
Roll wisdom.
Roll wisdom.
Yes.
Behold this.
I rolled a 6.
Okay, so Barty goes up there all badass and shit, like he's gonna pull that dagger out, and he reaches out for it, and then this thing goes kind of like exhales a little bit, and pulls his hand back, and like, no, I'm not touching. You don't want to touch it.
Ah, okay. Well, I just want everyone to know that Beauty, being me, threw the dagger into the eye of the beholder.
can Lefty get her sword out?
Oh, probably. She's.
Or am I going to have to give it another bash to...
No, she can pull it out.
Okay.
It's just the act of pulling it out while it was falling on the ground and everything was just going wrong. Now that she can get her foot onto it now and get some leverage and really pull it out.
My breath weapon fire is a d10 plus 12 plus 1, and I rolled a 18.
So, Jamala.
This is a bumper crop of disappointed game master faces. Yes.
She breathes a fire cone so concentrated that it burns a hole right where the lock should be. And the door just opens.
Let's get the hell out of here!
Are there any guards on the other side?
As soon as the door opens, the few remaining guards, they think you're the beholder and turn around and start running. As soon as that door opens, they freak the fuck out and they're gone.
Based on our timetables, should we assume that people will still be waiting for us if we've done this in enough time?
This has only been like 50 minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
We had at least an hour.
Let's go!
So you start running back down the halls. When you get to the cave, you can feel that the cave floor is already starting to get a thin layer of water. The tide is starting to come up. But you have enough time. You make it to the shelf. By the time you get to the shelf, the water is up to your knees. But the boat is just starting to... The dinghy is just starting to go back towards the ship.
Ahoy!
They turn it around, and you guys get back on the ship, and you guys can get away.
Hey, Barty. Hey, Barty, how you doing? You feeling all good?
Thank you, VMAC. Thank you, Lefty. Thank you, Jamala. You are true friends.
I smack Barty on the backside of his head.
Ah!
That is the last time we go and save you from being captured.
Okay, I hope it doesn't happen again.
Well,
I mean, Black Pepper Jack's still out there.
Well, now that we know that us getting together to rescue you was all part of a ruse by some psychopath.
Who is this Black Pepper Jack jerk?
He's a son of a bitch. He's my nemesis. He's a strong and capable and cunning man.
Blah, 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 blah. Barty, we don't know why you were arrested in the first place. What did you do?
I just... You know the king?
Yeah.
You know his daughter?
Oh.
Princess Jalapeno, yes.
Well, she, she really liked the performance one night, to say the least. She wanted an encore.
What's weird about that?
An encore in her private chamber.
Yeah, VMAX got it. For once, VMAX got it.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was actually multiple.
Hits Barty on the backside of his head again.
Ah! It was actually a multiple encore performance.
Well,
I got a standing ovation.
Well, now that we have a wanted fugitive of the crown with us,
and have, you know, committed murder, as usual.
Now what?
Thank you.
And so they sailed off. Three heroes and a fugitive. I wish I could say I was surprised, but frankly, Galep seen it all. Whoa! What was up with that crazy monster? That was spooky. Galep don't like it, no. It reminds me of a growth I once had on my backside of my kneecap. I burned it off with a torch, and then I smoked a cigarette to take the pain away. And then I put it out on my arm, because I'm hard like that. Oh, wait, no, that was my nephew's arm. I put it out on my nephew's arm. He'd been bad. And you'll be bad, too, if you don't donate to Dungeons and Doritos. Galap will put out his cigarettes on your mama after I abuse her. I'm always talking about people's mothers. It's like a broken record with Galap. Galap doesn't often talk in the third person, but when he does, Galap does it with lethal intent. I take leave of you now with a tune. A little ditty by the chamber band. Take it away, fellows.
Listening to Dungeons and Doritos. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive. Not just with Phoenix Downs, my dear, but by telling a friend, rating and reviewing us on iTunes, shopping at nerdyshow.com/store, or directly donating your hard-earned Doritos to the network. Any sized contribution gets you exclusive Nerdy Show audio and images and lets you participate in our monthly support drives. Just go to nerdyshow.com/support to chip in. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this or other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. For more episodes of Dungeons and Doritos, as well as other fine programming, community forums, videos, articles, and more, head over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to all Nerdy Show podcasts via the iTunes Store. And for the latest news, follow us on all your favorite social networks.
You're my special treat, Barty.
Wow.